Sometimes it's helpful to consider that there are four steps for the practice of mindfulness. The first step is to relax. To sit, be in a way that has some alertness, sense of energy and presence, but to relax in all kinds of areas, all kinds of ways. Relax the body, the shoulders, the belly, to relax the heart, perhaps reminding the heart that it's okay, it's okay. To soften and open, and to relax. And to relax the mind. So if you notice that there's any pressure or tension connected to your thinking or mental activity, to relax the mind activities. If you notice if there's any coalescing, gathering together of energy or hardness, concentration of things in the mind, as you exhale, perhaps relaxing the mind. Maybe using that universal mantra, it's okay. So first to relax. And then to know. To observe, to recognize what's happening here and now. And generally, we're interested in what is obvious in the present moment. You don't have to go digging and looking, bypassing the obvious for something profound, just what's obvious. Or to use the great default to come back to your breathing and know the breathing. Observe the breathing. So first to relax, and then to know. And then the next step is to feel, to sense, to allow the experience that you're knowing register in all its different aspects. So if you're you might know whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, and feel the pleasantness, feel the unpleasantness. You might know the emotional quality of something, the mood, and to feel it, open to it, allow it to be in your body. My mind might be thinking a lot. And the present moment aspect of thinking would be how it feels physically to be thinking. What's the impact physically on the whole, on your being to be thinking? What's the energy of thinking? What's the concentration of agitation? In the present moment, what does it feel like? What happens to you when you're thinking? Independent of the content of your thoughts, what does the process of thinking feel like? So first to relax, then to know, and then to feel, register, sense more fully what you know. It takes a little bit of relaxed time to get to know it better. What is this experience that you know? And the last step is to let go. To let go of any clinging to it, any resistance, any holding. To let go so whatever is going on, in a sense, is free floating. No need to take it personally. No need to react to it or judge it or find meaning in it. Some things like thoughts can just drift away. Some things might persist, but in letting go, they're just free floating. Just phenomena that's there. And then as you settle in more, some of these four steps are no longer needed. At some point you might no longer make any effort to relax. And it's enough just to feel, to know, to let go. And then being more intimate to the present moment, feeling here, not really going anywhere, just here with this. It might not be necessary to let go. It's enough just to know and to feel. And at some point it's not necessary to make any effort to feel. At some point it feels too much to try to feel or make the effort or the intention to feel the experience. It's enough just to know. Whatever is happening in the moment, to know, to observe. And then it might be possible to notice or feel what it's like to know. There might be some extra baggage with knowing, with being mindful, There might be a forcefulness or a pressure to it. It might be associated with being a good practitioner, trying to get something or make something happen, make something go away. It might be associated with ideas of our self-image. And it's possible to feel sometimes some extra coalescing or agitation or energy, pressure, that comes along with knowing. And maybe that can be let go of. Or if it can't let go of it, it's enough just to know that, just to see. It's enough just to know. Nothing more has to happen. And sometimes the sense of knowing and being aware can come with the extra notion of directing the attention, moving it from here to there, being here and knowing what's there. Being here, wherever knowing is, and knowing the breathing there. And even the sense of direction and moving and intentionality with knowing, at some point can feel like a little extra. And there can be just knowing without the mind moving. So in the nature of our experience in meditation changes over time in all kinds of ways. And sometimes you have to come back and relax, know, feel, and let go. And sometimes it's just let go. Sometimes it's just feel. Sometimes it's just to know. Always aiming to be simple, relaxed about the practice. Simple here with this experience. Right here is the place of awakening. Right here and now is the most valuable place to be in this lived experience of the present moment. Staying here in the present moment with knowing what's happening. And from time to time, with your peripheral awareness, recognize how you are about what you know. In the background, how are you? And is there any tightening or pressure or reactivity? Any quickening, concern about what you know? And if there is, take a few moments to know it, feel it, and if possible, to let go. So you can settle back in to the primary thing that you're knowing. Know it simple, direct. One of the supports for practice here on retreat is called continuity of practice. So the analogy that's sometimes used is that of boiling water on the stove. If you start the flame, come back 30 seconds later and turn it off. Come back an hour later and turn it on for another 30 seconds and then go away. And then you have important things to do. You come back the next day and you turn it on for a while. There's no continuity to bring it to a boil. And so there's a way in which you want to maintain as much continuity to kind of keep the fires burning, keep it percolating somehow, growing. And so at the end of a sitting, the continuity would mean that you would try to open your eyes, stand up, move out of the room here with kind of the same kind of intimacy or closeness or connection to the practice with the mindfulness as you would when you're sitting. So sometimes people don't get up and move slow. Sometimes it might seem too big of a task to do that all day long, but at least it's nice to take a block of time. Say a sitting, a walking in the sitting, and treat it as one practice time and see if you can have as much continuity of attention, maybe slowing down or something, just trying to do as little extra as you can. Maybe go use the water fountain here to drink rather than getting tea. So you try that block of time to see what that's like, how that supports you to have that ongoing continuity. The other thing about continuity is to keep in mind that the continuity builds, supports you, if you offer the practice the best effort that's available. It doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that you're running a 100-yard dash when this is more like a marathon, just the right amount of effort, but the best effort that's available. And through the day, what that looks like varies. If you're tired at some point, the best effort that's available then is going to be a different quality of effort than when you're crisp and alert. And you don't have to measure one is right and one is wrong, or that your effort is not so good when you're tired, but it's the best effort that's available. And it's the continuity of the best effort that's available that kind of keeps the flame going. And then also you might notice through the day Where are the activities outside of sitting and walking where you're most likely to lose your attention? Where you'll spend, suddenly you notice that for the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you haven't been paying attention at all, really. You haven't bumped into anything, but you haven't really, you know, you're not really been really there. You've been involved with your thoughts and activities. Is it during meals? Is it taking a shower? Is it as soon as you go into your room? Your room is like a mindfulness-free zone. And then you might want to consider about what's going on for you and kind of just investigate that a little bit. Consider what's happening there in that area where you tend to lose it the most. And if you see a pattern where it's, then it might be something where you prepare yourself when you're about to do that activity. And remind yourself, oh yeah, let's stay present during the eating, whatever. And one area of practice here in retreat where you get a lot of extra credit for being mindful is the opening and closing of doors. Thomas Merton was once asked, what did you learn in your years of Catholic monastic life? And his answer was, opening and closing doors. So to be really there, you know, and notice if you're not really there for the door. The door needs you. You know, opening it mindfully, closing it. And the doors we have here are called fire doors. They're required. Everything about them are required by the fire department, including the latch. So when you close a door, you mindfully lower the latch so it closes, so you don't get so many clicks. And this is especially true at night, because sometimes the sound of the doors carries across through the building and wakes people up. So continuity of practice, and all the details of our life, as it works for you, as it supports you in being relaxed and open, and knowing what's happening moment by moment. Thank you.